So Grace, would you briefly introduce yourself, and that's kind of silly, but basically say about how many children or grandchildren you have, how long you've been at Crossway, because we don't have the picture to see your lovely faces.
So I'm Grace Privatera. Pete is my husband. I have five daughters. Four of them are here. Two of them are godly, wonderful men. And then we have three amazing grandbabies that I'm Mimi to. Isn't that a fun name, Mimi? I love it. And we've been at Crossway almost 20 years. We've been married 29 years, almost 29 years.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about your background, your upbringing, your childhood, when you first heard about Jesus?
So my testimony, in all seriousness, it's kind of a vulnerable thing, and I think everybody's testimony is, because it's so personal. But mine is, as I share it, you'll understand what I'm saying. So I was raised in a non-Christian home. My parents divorced when I was two. I have two brothers and two sisters. My youngest sister was killed in a train accident when I was four. So my upbringing was very tumultuous. I didn't know the Lord. I didn't know about the Lord. But I always knew that the Lord, whoever he was, I didn't understand it, but I believed that God was my best friend. So when I was alone and life was difficult, I knew that God was with me. So I would pray, and I had comfort in whoever God was, even though I didn't understand that. Didn't grow up going to church, but some understanding. And the scripture that comes to me often is that before we were formed in our mother's wombs, right? The Lord knew us. And that's the way I was raised. It's absolutely sure, right? There's nothing in me that commended me to the Lord. He plucked me out of a very difficult situation and saved me. One thing I didn't mention is that my dad, if you've ever heard of the mob, like God, the Godfather, or Goodfellas, or any of that, my dad was actually in the mob. You probably don't know anyone who has a family member in the mob. But he was, and he was in and out of jail, so he was not in my life very much. And I longed for a father figure, and the Lord, in his kindness, just drew me to himself time and time again without me understanding that's what he was doing. So all around me was chaos. There was alcoholism and some abuse, just craziness. But the Lord protected me from it, from my earliest memories. So the scripture that I often think of is that while I was nursing at my mom's breast, which isn't my favorite analogy, but the Lord knew me and he took me to himself. And he kept me on the straight and narrow before I even knew that that's what he was doing. He always protected me and called me to himself. So when I was eight, I went to a backyard Bible study of VBS, and a really kind neighbor invited me, and we sang a song about the cross. So I still remember it. She had three different cards, and there was a black card that represented our sin, and there was a red that represented the blood of Jesus, and a white card, and that represented how his blood makes us clean. And it was a five-day VBS, and each day I went forward to receive Christ. I wanted it to stick. I was afraid, like, oh, you know, if I didn't do it right the first time, maybe it won't. I'm sure the woman was like, okay, little girl, I think you're good. You're saved. Go back home now. But I wanted whatever she was describing. I knew that I was sinful, and I needed the Lord. So when I was eight, I became a Christian, but I didn't grow much. I didn't have any understanding, only that the Lord was my best friend. He was with me through all kinds of things. But then when I was 15, I went to a youth camp, and that's when the Lord really dramatically turned my life around. And my mom and my stepdad now, they became Christians at that time, and they're still Christians. And that's also at that age is when I met Peter. And so I became a Christian, met him, we became really good friends. And the Lord has kept me since then.
You were talking about what you were saying that was influential in your early formation of your faith, but what was the funny story that you had shared about, you know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah, so when I was 15, I was very zealous for the Lord, and I had gone, so summer camp was in July, and then there was winter retreat in January. I didn't miss a church service, I was just to hear everything. So at winter retreat, I felt the Lord call me to be a pastor's wife. So we had an altar call, and I was praying, and I felt like the Lord really said that he wants me to be a pastor's wife. And my youth pastor was equally enthusiastic. And so when I told him that, he was like, well, you have to share this with the church. So I'm like, okay, I guess I'll share with the church. So it was a Sunday night service, and I gave my testimony, and I said, I feel called to be a pastor's wife. Well, simultaneously, Pete was headed to Bible college to pastor. And every turn, the church would try to hook us up. Now, we were good buddies, so we would kind of laugh about it. But there's one time there was Pete and a bunch of deacons, and they're all in their suits, and I'm in like the other end of the hallway, and this older single woman who's so sweet, she's like, don't you want to be a pastor's wife? I'm like, yeah, you know, like kind of hesitant. She took me by my arm over to the group of men to introduce me to Pete, who I already knew, to say she wants to be a pastor's wife. So it worked, and I'm grateful, but it was humiliating at the same time.
Love it. The rest is history. And I forget, was there anybody else who discipled you or helped you in your formation of your faith?
Yeah, well, primarily Pete, and then there were people all along the way. So when I first became a Christian, all the older women in church took me under their wing, because I didn't have, there was no one bringing me to church. So the ladies in the church helped me to understand what it was to be a Christian. And then as I got older, Kim Betcher, the woman who helped me to grow as a wife and mom. And of course, my mother-in-law is another one who discipled me, not with her words, but with the way that she engenders all that the Bible wants a woman to be. And I'm so grateful for her example. And then, of course, Lori and Brenda. We've known each other for about 20 years each. And we've been through thick and thin, and we laugh a lot, but we cry a lot, and we know each other's struggles, and they've pointed me to the Lord faithfully over 2 decades, just about.
Has there been a particular hardship that the Lord has used to draw you closer to himself? If you can share a little bit about the circumstance you in mm-hmm. your suffering.
So the way I took the question, I'll do more of a flyby, because there's a few pivotal moments. So I think one pivotal moment would have been my childhood and coming to the Lord. That was like a slow suffering that I didn't even realize. I was pretty happy, you know. I didn't realize how difficult things were until I came out of it. And then about 15 years ago, I had just had Sienna, and I was having like pretty incredible stomach pain. I was actually out buying boots, oddly enough. It was a really good deal. I'm like, well, the stomach pain will wait. I need the boots. Anyway, so I wound up in the hospital with pancreatitis, and I had to stop nursing Sienna abruptly. And from there, it was just kind of a series of events of suffering and difficulty with my health. So pancreas issues, migraine, chronic migraine, things like that. So that was another snapshot. And then another snapshot was 2 years ago when Pete had his open heart surgery. So he had a bunch of heart events, we call them, but tests would show that he was fine. So he finally, it was 2 weeks before Hope's wedding, and I asked the doctor, like, if anything is wrong, like, what do we do? And he said, it's really unusual that you would be admitted and have surgery. I'm like, okay, good, I could take really unusual, let's do that. Well, we fell into the really unusual category. His heart was worse than we thought, and they admitted him, and they did surgery less than 12 hours later, and it was 2 weeks before Hopi's wedding. So I share those things to say that the character of God is what got me through any of those things. When I look at my childhood, I think God is so faithful. His sovereignty is what gives us context for difficult things. If he's not sovereign, then everything is just painful and meaningless, and we pray for the best. But his sovereignty gives us hope, knowing that he's good and he's righteous and he's always working for our good. And that foundation led over to, with my own health issues, wondering, like, God, why? Why is this happening? This can't be good. But then realizing it's not about the why, it's who God is. It's his character. He can be trusted. He upholds us with his righteous right arm. And then the same with when Pete got sick, realizing this isn't ideal timing, this isn't what I would choose, but God is faithful, and his character is good, and he can always be trusted, and he's sovereign, so his timing is always perfect, even if in my scheme of things, it feels inopportune, which that's usually how God works, right? That it's not how I'd plan it, but it's always for our good and for his glory.
You alluded to different ones, but is there a particular verse or scripture or a song that you meditate on for encouragement?
Mm-hmm. My favorite scripture is Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the hills from where my help comes. He doesn't let your foot slip. He doesn't let the sun scorch you. He's the everlasting God. That, of course, is a paraphrase. But what's so helpful about that for me is it gets me out of my circumstance and lifting my eyes. Like, okay, it's not about that whatever's in front of me. It's the Lord is my help, and I can lift my eyes beyond my circumstances to see him. And because he's the everlasting God, everything's okay. And the other song is, or a song that I meditate on is, I can't remember it.
I told
Be Still My Soul, actually it is. But
I told them, I said, there's going to be a moment where either I or one of us is just going to be blank, because that's the way our brains are working right now. So
I had the first moment. We'll see who else has a moment.
But you remembered it. That's good. Being a pastor's wife has its own unique joys and challenges. You often help to shoulder heavy weights with your husband and make sacrifices in order to freely serve all of us. We support you specifically in prayer.
Well, 2 years ago when Pete went through all that he went through, the church was so amazing to us. I would get texts constantly. You all gave us meals. I think it was like 6 years of meals. It felt like continual meals. And I remember saying, like, I don't want to take meals. I should be giving someone a meal. And it was such a tangible help to us. So I'm so grateful for the way that you all have helped us shoulder ministry and then difficulties in our own lives. Like ministry difficulties and then things in our own lives. So prayer is always, you know, what we need. And prayer specifically, I would ask for wisdom to be faithful in this new season of life. So I just have Sianna at home, and I have a few others that are kind of in and out. But in general, it's Sianna and I. Just want to be faithful with what the season that the Lord has me in, that I'm living in a way that glorifies him, even if it's different than what I'm used to.
And was there anything else that you wanted to share? I wanted to just make sure you gave that opportunity. If I didn't ask a question that you wanted to say something to?
Nope.
No. Okay. Well, thank you, Grace. Let's express our appreciation to Grace. Next up is Lori Heitland. So, Lori, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Children, no grandchildren yet, but how long you've been at Crossway?
I'm married to Steve, and we've been married for 26 years, and we came to Crossway in 03. Morgan was just a baby, Claudia, and we have 5 children. Claudia is 23. She's married. She married a young man named Joey Battle, who loves another church, unfortunately. So she changed churches when they got married. They live in Willow Street, nice and close by. Morgan is 21. Our son Aaron is 16, Greta is 15, and Josiah is almost 12.
Okay.
And he's quick to say he's going to be 13 next year.
Of course. Can you tell us a little bit about your background, where you grew up, your childhood, your upbringing, where you first heard about Jesus?
Yeah, I am homegrown Lancaster County girl. I grew up in New Providence. My parents live in the house that my dad built us when I was 2. I have an older brother, and I went to Solanco for school and went to Lancaster Mennonite for high school. My world growing up was very Mennonite, and those of you who know what that means know what that means. Both sides of my grandparents were plain. They wore head coverings. Had a lot of Mennonite bishop. My grandfather was a bishop and some pastors in my dad's side. And after I graduated high school, I wasn't sure that I wanted to go to college, and I ended up going into YWAM in northern, very, very rural Wisconsin, and that's actually where I met Steve. And I was just gonna say also, real quick, back to the Mennonite thing, I am related to everybody. When I first met Brenda, one of the first things I remember is she's like, Lori, every time we go somewhere, you see a cousin. And it's true. I have 45 first cousins, and I know Carol Urich has me beat, but I hear that's not usual to have 45 cousins. And I actually have a number of cousins, close and distant cousins, in the church. So that's kind of fun. I just found out I have a third cousin on both sides in the church. That was pretty cool to discover. So anyway.
Lori's grandfather married my parents. He was the bishop and married my grandparents, or my parents. What were the circumstances that led you to faith in Christ?
I am very grateful to say that I grew up in a very loving home where my parents loved me, my parents feared God, and they brought me to church. I grew up in a very small Mennonite church close to where Ken and BG Hur live. And my parents always encouraged me to trust God and to have faith in Him. And as a young girl, I always remember having a desire to know God and to know His Word. And I was probably 12 or 13 when I was convicted of my sin and I was baptized. I was sprinkled in the Mennonite church. I think it counts. So, I'm very, very grateful. The older I get, the more grateful I am for having a very peaceful home and upbringing. And my parents, you know, my parents were in many ways simple people. My dad was a carpenter, my mom was a waitress. They were both EMTs, but they feared God and they loved me. And it's such an amazing gift that they loved me and they loved. And it's such a testimony to God's faithfulness to me, that His kindness to me in that way. So,
was there someone who was influential in the formation of your faith? And if you can give some particulars in that.
My first thought is actually my husband. When I first met Steve, I was very drawn to him, and I didn't quite know what to do with him. he was very different than any other guy that I was attracted to or wanted to date. And anyway, but the one thing that I really loved about him was his desire to think deeply and to talk deeply. And when we met, I was 18, and I was just wrestling with some flaws that I had seen in the church I grew up in. And we were in this crazy, crazy charismatic environment where the world was getting rocked. And he and I would talk for hours about life and theology and God and our future. And fast forward to now being married this many years, he's taught me that theology matters. And I am not theologically oriented at all. I don't really like to think about it. I'm not excited by it. But Steve has taught me that theology matters. And, I don't have to read the books that he's reading to develop a deep and convictional theology. And my theology affects how I cook my dinner. It affects how I deal with a child who doesn't sleep. It affects how I deal with family members who are difficult. And so I'm really grateful for Steve constantly pointing me to the character of God and to His Word to answer really all of life's questions. So,
has there been a particular hardship that the Lord has used to draw you closer to Himself? And if you can share a little bit about the circumstances and how the Lord met you.
I've always been a very healthy person. And a few years back, my body just kind of shut down. I had a season of a very intense struggle. It took me a while, doctors a while, and we figured out that I had a hormone that was crazy out of balance. It was about 6 or 7 times the normal level, and I'll spare you some of the dramatic details of that time in my life, but pretty much felt like I was plugged into an electrical outlet, and many days I felt like I was literally losing my mind. Tasks that were normal for me, I couldn't do. Physically, my body was, just kind of freaking out. And I never before had felt so weak physically and mentally. And it threw me at the feet of God like I had never known before. I was very desperate for God to meet me and to show me what faith looked like. And during that time, many of you were very, very encouraging to me. You would pray for me. Many of you cooked me meals, even looking at women here, I'm like, I remember the sweet potatoes that Krista made. I remember the chicken dish that Carol made. And like, you women were so kind to me, and you pointed me to God's word. And the thing that me through was knowing God's character and that he is good. And God is good. Life can be swirling around me, but God is good. And Steve would hold me fast there. And the verse that probably meant the most to me during that time was Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but graciously gave him up for us all, how did he not also along with him graciously give us all things? During that difficult season, I did not feel that God was giving me what I needed. God, I need a clear mind. I need to think rightly about the world and about you. And I was so desperate for him to answer me. And looking back, God did give me what I needed. He kept me, and he provided for me in ways that weren't what I wanted, but that's what I needed. The other thing that was very helpful to me was this book. Thank you. This book. It's called Job, and it's actually a commentary. And I promise you, I am the kind of person that reads a commentary. If I can read this, you can too. I think it's in the bookstore, and if it's not, Steve can get it for you. But I had actually read this book a bit before the season that I entered into this intense struggle, and felt like God was really helping teaching me a theology of suffering, and that I can watch. I know so many of you in this room who have gone through incredibly hard things, and I've watched you, and I've seen, oh, God held her, and God is going to keep me. And it to see other people suffer and know that they made it, it's like, no, I'm going to make it too. And anyway, in God's mercy, I felt like he grounded me in some theology that I was lacking before this season. And the very end of this book, that I feel like it's changed my life. It's a couple paragraphs, so hang with me. He says, in the presence of the living God, to bow down low and to grasp how great he is and how small I am is a healthy thing, because it's true. It's a mark of the love of God that he brings Job low, for this is where a creature ought to be. That is true for us as well. We often pray for success, both for us and for others. We pray for good exam results, for good job offers, etc. And yet so often success leads to pride, and pride to self-confidence, and self-confidence to independence from God, and independence from God leads to hell. The most deeply compassionate and merciful thing God can do is to humble us and bring us low so that we bow down before him and trust him. This is the first mark of the compassion of God. He loves us enough to humble us as he humbled Job under his mighty hand. And those are hard words. But when you've tasted the suffering that God has allowed, and he brings you through it, whether either redemption or just keeping you, you know, and you can taste the goodness of God, even if the circumstances around you are terrible. So,
being a pastor's wife has its own unique joys and challenges. Is there anything that we can specifically pray for you in?
I would, kind of along with grace, desire for wisdom is ever present, along with prayers for courage, and just that God would keep us, like just what my heart is so tempted to believe that God isn't good to me, like in so many stupid little things, like I didn't sleep well. God, why not, like really? Like I feel like my heart is so inclined to question God's goodness, and my prayer as a mom is that God would keep my kids. So far, four of my kids have made very definite professions of faith, and I'm beyond grateful. So yeah, prayers for wisdom and my family, that God would keep us and keep us to the end and give us courage for all that he's called us to.
Yeah. Is there anything else you wanted to add that I didn't ask?
Yeah, I wanted to say thank you specifically to all the ladies who wrote cards and back. Was that Mother's Day? I was trying to remember Mother's Day this spring. That was such a sweet gift to me, like the bookmarks and the gift and the kind words. I know I haven't thanked most of you for that, but I just wanted to publicly say that was very kind and very sweet. Thank you.
And thank you all for doing that. That was such an encouragement, too, as we were collecting the myriad of envelopes. Brenda, you start by talking a little bit about your family and how long you've been at Crossway, how long you've been married to Doug.
So I'm Brenda Plank. I'm married to Doug, who often leads worship on Sundays. I have 5 children. Ethan is my oldest, and he's a senior in college. I have Abigail is a sophomore in college. Then Chloe is a junior in high school. I have a freshman in high school named Jesse, and then my baby is old, Wesley, at home, being homeschooled, yeah.
Wesley is a cutie.
I've been at Crossway for 24 years, I think.
Okay.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about your growing up years, your background, and when you first heard about Jesus?
Sure. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. It was a pretty hostile family. And like Grace, I didn't realize it to the full extent until after I left. But in it, there was a lot of arguing and yelling. And in the midst of those times, I would sometimes pray to God. But I had no upbringing with God. It was just what came to my mind and heart was to talk to the Lord. And then I had a next-door neighbor who the mother would often keep home, and I was drawn to that. So I would often be at my neighbor's house, and whatever they did, I wanted to do. They went to a Lutheran church, so I eventually started going with them as a young teen, and like everybody in the church was like, why are you here if you don't have to be here? I didn't understand why they were so dumbfounded by it, but... So it was my first taste of church would have been through the Lutheran church before high school years. So then I went off to Millersville University to get a teaching degree, and that's where I met Doug towards the end of my college. Because I went to school and hated the party scene, like did not want to throw up. That was one goal I had, not to throw up, which means I'm not going to party. And ironically, the girls that I had a lot of my classes with were either really good girls or some were Christians. And so through my years, I just felt God drawing me. And so I'd ask questions. Tracy Geyer, if she's in this room, became my roommate in college. And she was becoming convicted. She wasn't going to church, and I was asking her these questions. So we ended up at InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and the Lord, again, was just that slow drawing. He was answering questions, and then I'm like, "So are you a Christian? You're like reading a Bible now." So I'm like, "Oh, I guess I am a Christian." It was that much of a progression for me. But then I wanted a church, and I started seeking out churches. And everybody was just there to clock in and clock out until I could ask the people at InterVarsity, where do you go to here at Crossway? And once I came here, it felt like Ray Randolph was preaching to me every Sunday. Every question I would come up with, he would answer the next Sunday. And I'm like, is he preaching to anybody else in this church? It was amazing. And then to see the families, like there was love in the families, like teenagers hugging their parents. I had no understanding, no experience, no category for this. But it drew me big time. There was a crazy word at the time. It wasn't my husband at the time. But that freaked me out a bit because it was like that charismatic stuff. I'm like, what is going on? But then just the how the families were and the teaching. And I have been at Crossway since then. I just, in reflecting on this, to write out my story, it's like God put me in a solid church from the very beginning. And I've always felt like I'm so far behind because I wasn't till I was like 20 years old till I became a Christian. And I feel like I'm like answering like 20 questions.
That's fine.
So I've always felt behind, but I can always attest, God put me in a solid church with solid theology, with amazing women that taught me how to can food, which was peculiar because you're putting it in a jar, and how to iron clothes, how to make pie crust, all these women, but most importantly, how to love your husband, how to love your children, and how to teach them and be part of the body as a woman. That has been invaluable to me from the very beginning.
Has there been a particular hardship that the Lord has used to draw you closer to Him?
It's kind of funny because I warned you it might come out different than
That's
what I answered
fine.
In my script. But I would say I too have had physical sufferings over the years. My early years in marriage were a lot of anxiety, even panic attacks in the hospital. Doug was so patient with me. And then after that, just more physical ailments, being in ministry, being a mother of five, homeschooling, being the only Christian in my family, trying to figure this out as a brand new Christian. So I became a wife within a year and a half of becoming a Christian. We were asked to go to pastor's college within the next year and had Ethan that second week of classes. So it was just like, wow, like so much in such a short span of time you put all together, and each one of those circumstances would have pressed me to the Lord. And again, mine was always, God is good, and He never withholds anything good from me. That's the anchor I had to keep putting over and over again into my mind and soul, because I felt so far behind, because I didn't have the help, the support, the blah, 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 that I felt like I couldn't achieve and do well. But God was always faithful, and I had to keep coming back to, He's always good, and He's never withholds anything good from me. So I can say I've been through hardships, but when I go back and look at it, it's more often because of how I responded to it with my sin than the actual set of circumstances that I went through.
Is there a particular verse or a passage in Scripture mm-hmm. or a song that especially encourages you?
Yeah, I often will find a song and put it on repeat. Chloe's up here in the front row. My kids are like, wow, Mom's really down. She's got a certain song on repeat. So that changes, and my husband's a songwriter, so that's really been a very sweet thing, that his songs actually are a huge ministry to me. And I have my children in their latter years of elementary school memorize the whole chapter of Romans 8. And so I've done that 5 times now. I'm in the midst of it with Wesley now, and oh my word, it's like it is so chocked full of truth and, you know, like anchoring truth that just steadies your mind and your heart. So chapter 8 of Romans.
Is there any way that we can specifically support you in prayer?
Mm-hmm. I too need wisdom. I've got adult children now and how to maneuver through that. I want to know God more deeply, first and foremost through His truth. And I want to be able to see His glory so that all of my tendencies of comparison or self-pity has been a brutal one for me, can dissipate and become so much smaller and that God would be so much bigger, so that I would love God, love my husband and children, love others, love the church. I just want to write the order of loves, and beginning with just seeing God's glory.
Yeah. And is there anything else that you wanted to add?
Yeah. I think there's been times where friendships, I don't get to see people as much as I want, or it's not as close of a relationship as I would hope for, but I've always had books, like they've been a friend, you know, they've been a discipler. And I don't want to discount that. That's a voice of God's people too, speaking to me. And so that's just my little tidbit that to throw out there too. And I too also want to thank you to piggyback from Lori. You gave me stuff at Mother's Day, And then Doug was honored right after that. I'm like, you probably are so, like, what else did I say about Brenda? Like, it was so cute to give me things and to encourage me. And it was really undoing to be surprised by Doug and I being honored on stage. So thank you. And yeah.
Can we thank each of these ladies? This has been very encouraging.